that the union meetings were uninhibited. What do you mean?
The issue is...
can you describe that a little bit? Because that... people felt pretty comfortable in that local, eh? Were most people active?
Not for a long time. How would I phrase that? When we finally put it in the Constitution that unless they attended 3 meetings a year, they would have no seniority. And management had to be sent a copy of the list of the people who were now union members and who had attended meetings and all the rest of it. Once we started policing it in that way, then we got a lot more people out of the meetings.
Yeah.
Do you want some of this? Because it's hard to reach for you.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I have some antipasto? And crackers.
I wanted to ask you to kind of go through the story of the strike for us. To maybe start with both of you. You can take turns.
I'm
or whatever.
Not photogenic, please. I hate having my picture taken.
Okay, I'll
put it in there. Okay, take it off, Sarah.
With
okay, Lydia, what was your impression? What happened to you when we finally decided to go on strike?
Can we go back a bit and talk about why you decided to strike? Like, what were the main issues?
Well, I think wages.
Yep.
I think the wages was the most important. And of course, there was a time when we didn't get a coffee break, you know. And a few things like that for the workers, a few of the better things. But I think wages was the most important.
What were you earning?
What did we earn that time?
I think we were earning around 75 cents. I went through about 2,000 pictures. And I couldn't find, there's the sandwich board. Our men worked for $1.05 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What were the women and men earning different wages?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why?
Well, because at that time, there was nothing in the act that said that men and women had to get equal pay. It took us a long time to bargain for equal pay for equal work. Okay. Even at that wasn't really good enough. Laura Jameson told me that what you, when she helped draft the legislation in Saskatchewan, equal pay for equal work. So exactly how do you measure that? You know, we would have women on the box line hanging up boxes, going around, and we would have men, and the men would be getting one rate of pay, the women would be getting another rate of pay. The argument was that once in a while the men had to go off and truck supplies to the box line. There was, it took years and years for equal pay for work of equal value. But it's very hard. How do you exactly determine work of equal value?
So was equal pay at all an issue in the strike, or was it a question of an across?
No, at that time,
At that time,
we were not sophisticated enough to even think of equal pay for work of equal value. All we wanted was, pardon?
Did women talk about that, though?
Oh, yeah, I guess we all had a little say about
it. Yeah.
We didn't do anything about it.
No, but it never became an issue. And actually, because we were so low paid, all we wanted was a wage increase. the strike came about because we were getting very low wages compared with the other people in the country, and we realized that management, not management, but the growers, were building swimming pools and buying Buicks and building nice homes and all the rest of it. And someplace along the line, there's got to be money in the system, but we were not getting any of it. So actually what the strike was about was to try and get better wages. And we're barely above the minimum wage. You know how the minimum wage works. As the unions negotiate better wages, the law takes the lowest wage rate and says this is going to be the minimum. And so that was what the strike was all about. Also, in 1952, we had somehow managed to tie ourselves to the price of a box of apples. You know, the wages would increase if the price of a box of apples went up.
Was that in your contract?
That was in our contract. We were tied to that. I haven't got a copy of that contract, but we were tied to the price per box of apples. And the price per box of apples didn't go up. And okay, I know you're all smarter than we are.
No, go on.
Then we had this convention, and then we managed to tie ourselves to a slogan, 10 cents or bust. You know, that was going to be it, 10 cents or bust.
And that was an across-the-board increase.
That was an across-the-board increase. Okay, I don't know, I think... among the people you should interview might be someone like Bert Sandeman Penticton. I'm sure there were a lot of people that were much more sophisticated than I was. I was a real dummy. When I got my first paycheck from the packing house and realized they were taking $2 off me, I wanted to know why. You know, and what is this whole thing about? And what is this union? And the woman that informed me was a shop steward. She was also our stamper. She really didn't know that much about it. And she told me that there was a union and that we had these union dues deducted. And I wanted to know how come they could do it without asking me. And she said it was part of the formula, and that I could come to a union meeting, and I wanted to know about the union meeting and what happened at union meetings, because I came from the farm on the prairie. I didn't know anything about this whole thing. You know, it was totally academic. What was a union meeting like? And she said, well, you can come to the union meeting and they will decide whether they'll accept you, and you will be sworn in. And I had visions, something like getting sworn into the Masons and having to ride a billy goat. And she said, they will decide whether you can get into the union. And I thought to myself, that'll be the frosty Friday morning when I go in front of a whole bunch of people and they're going to decide whether I'm going to get in or stay out. We were on the Rand formula. That was the word I was trying to think of. We were on the Rand formula with automatic deductions.
Okay, that was automatic deductions, and it also meant that not everyone had to be in the in the union, did they?
Yeah. They all had to pay union dues, but they didn't have to become members of the union. But Judge Rand decided that it was only fair that if you got the advantage of the wage increase, therefore you should pay something for that. Mm-hmm. So that was fine. When I went to my first union meeting,
what made you change your mind from I will never go there to
let them decide on me? Mm-hmm. I was nosy. I wanted to. see what is this whole thing all about. And I went to a union meeting and I was instantly converted. Yeah, instantly. And they instantly made me a shop steward.
Do you remember the experience? Can you describe that in a bit more detail? Your conversion?
It's sort of embarrassing. It's like being born again. You know?
It happened to others who I've talked to. It's all right. It happened to some of the people sitting around this lawn.
It's suddenly, we had a speaker there that night, and it's suddenly they're talking about social justice. They're talking about a great many things that make sense. And suddenly, I want to be part of it. And suddenly, I discover that I'm now a shop steward. And I'm a shop steward at the cannery. And they gave me the wrong agreement to process grievances. No, but it was... something I'd been looking for.
Yeah.
I also had the same experience where the first time I went to a labor council meeting. For years and years, I had listened to Roy Geddes' report about the labor council, and it sounded so dull and so boring and... you know, nothing seemed to be happening. And then I was asked to go to a labor council meeting, and I went. And I listened to IWA people. I listened to all these people, and I thought, that's for me. That's where I'm going to go from now on. I don't know, how do you become converted? I think basically I had... my own ideas of what is right and what is wrong, and without being able to put it into words, why are some people underprivileged? Why are some people imposed upon? I don't know. I don't know. How do you express it? What makes you want to go around and do a book? Tell me.
Well, similar things, wanting... For me, it's wanting people to share that information.
Yeah.
Experience.
Yeah. I don't know how we can even articulate. I always see a feel. I grew up in the prairie, and the world was a very small place. Yorkton was 40 miles away. The world didn't go much beyond Yorkton somehow. You know, that kind of feeling. My kids grew up in a very different world. My grandchildren will grow up in a totally different world. You know, they're watching television. They know about Mount St. Helens. They know all these kind of things.
Right.
I grew up in a family that really didn't question very much what was happening because we were German Lutherans. And what God meant to happen was going to happen. And my grandmother always said, you know, sort of in effect, whatever will be, will be. You know, you didn't rebel, you didn't question. You grew up in a very different world. My kids grew up in a very different world, but I grew up in a world where you didn't really question.
I'm curious, Lydia, if that's similar to what your experience was.
Exactly.
Like,
could
you tell us maybe a bit about, were you from a trade union family? No, you were from.
No, I was from the. No, we did as we were told. We had to work like men on the fields. My dad called once at 5 o'clock in the morning. Get up, and we had to work on the fields like men, you know. We weren't allowed to go to a show. We weren't allowed to dance. We weren't allowed to go to a party or go to town Saturday night, nothing. You got the church. You got the church twice on Sunday, and that's as far as I ever... And I'd never been to a city, never been to nothing.
Right. What brought you out here?
Well, my husband, we were married in 1936, and my husband decided he'd like to come out here, and times were hard on the prairie at that time, so that's when we came out.
So you were married when you were working here?
Yeah.
Did you have kids?
Yeah, two girls.
So was it was necessary for you to work to support them?
Exactly. And I found that women could get jobs sooner than men. Yeah, I used to go and house clean for 2 bits an hour, do the people's washing, all their dirty work, pick tomatoes at 15 cents an hour, and just so we have something to eat.
Was your husband unemployed?
Yeah. Well, he got whatever, I mean. And then during the war, there's lots of signs up, I'm German descent. Born and raised in Canada, but there were signs up along the highways, no Germans allowed or no Germans wanted.